but we're much better than what we showed against them, and this is what we're going to show them tonight. No doubt in my head. Let's go, guys. Go.
Listening to the 90 Plus Podcast. Here's your hosts, Ben Righetti and Sebastian Pereira.
Uninspiring, lifeless, and bleak. All words that I've used over the last couple of weeks to describe the Whitecaps' recent performances in articles on Last Word on Soccer. I'm Ben Righetti, as always, joined by my co-host Sebastian Pereira. We're the 90 Plus Podcast. We have the pleasure and the honor to bring you coverage of the Vancouver Whitecaps. A little bit more pleasure than honor these days. It's been rough sailings for the Whitecaps coming off that recent 3-1 loss to Seattle the other day. Sebastian, as always, my co-host here on episode 24 of the 90 Plus Podcast. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the last few episodes of some special guests coming on. We've had Alex, JJ Adams, a number of guests over those that two episode special. But it's just me, it's just Sebastian today, the two of us sticking to old roots. And the White, so we're sticking to our thing, the Whitecaps sticking to what they do best at and losing in the Cascadia games. Down in Seattle, it wasn't all doom and gloom, Sebastian. There were moments, there were chances, there were opportunities. However, there are more chances, there are more opportunities for the men in green and blue and whatever other colors on. I saw, this is a random fact, and I don't know if I should be saying this early on. They had two stars on their jerseys, which really annoyed me for some reason. They had their one star, and they had a bigger star above, because obviously that represents the MLS championships they've won. Whatever, they put, you know, two on there. One was a lot bigger than the other. That's just my OCD acting up. Sebastian, welcome to episode 24. We got quite a bit to talk about. Unfortunately, not a lot of it's going to be positive. So yourself and to all our listeners, sit down, buckle up, get ready. Episode 24 of the 90 Plus Podcast. Sebastian, how are we doing?
Could be better. I mean, yeah. You said it yourself with that intro. It could be a lot better. But just to explain the little two-star thing, because I was surprised you caught that, but it's actually regulation from the MLS. Once a team in the previous year has won MLS Cup, which the Sounders did last year, they get a bigger star on their jersey. So they get like a gold star.
Really?
That's like bigger than like the previous star or MLS Cup they've won. Yeah, which is silver.
That, I find that stupid, not necessary, and damn near idiotic. What the hell is the point of that? Why don't you just have two?
I don't know. That's just MLS jersey policy.
God,
that's
the MLS is really starting to get on my nerves these days. Good God.
But yeah, you know, you said it with the intro. The Whitecaps didn't have a good performance, and it wasn't as bad as we've seen in recent times in terms of a loss that bad. I mean, we can always go back and refer to the LAFC game, but it was just a little bit more depressing, I guess, because the Whitecaps put in a really good shift in the first half, and then second half it was quite a debacle. I mean, I was just done with after the third goal, after the own goal, honestly, too. It was really bad.
Yeah. So in case you haven't, you know, heard the news, and honestly, I envy you. The Whitecaps took on the Sounders yesterday. We're recording this on Sunday, so they took them on Saturday. I'm presuming this is going to be coming out on Monday, just as a reference point. For when I say yesterday, it means Saturday. It was 0-0 at halftime. You know, it looked half decent. The defense looked tight and solid. Cavallini had a golden chance 10-11 minutes into the game.
He should have scored, man. He has to score. It's a completely different game if he scores that.
I'm not going to even open that can of worms of what he should and shouldn't be doing right now. I'm going to save that for the second that we end this recording, Sebastian. Regardless, it was 0-0 at halftime. You know, not great, not bad. We were hanging in there, but Seattle, you know, had the merrier of chances and whatever. And seconds into the second half, João Paulo managed a low grass cutter, made it 1-0 straight off the bat. An Eric Godoy own goal, an unlucky deflection there off the center back, and then Raul Ruidíaz making it three. Freddie Montero giving, you know, a little bit of, you know, life into the Whitecaps' lifeline down the road in the 65th minute with a penalty. Because why would we score for an open play? You know, it has to be set up on a platter because, you know, we make life easier for ourselves. Jenny Obikel getting a red card just a couple of minutes later, again, on the theory of we make it easy for ourselves. And that was really all that she wrote. 3-1 Sounders, 3 points Seattle. Vancouver's tied for last place in the Western Conference. Stop me if you've heard this one before, Sebastian. There's so much I want to say, and there's so much that I'm going to sound like I'm just beating, you know, the same lines over and over with a stick, but it's just not good enough.
Yeah, like you said, Ben, it's not good enough, and it clearly shows not only in the past couple of Whitecaps performances, but also throughout Mark DeSanto's tenure. I mean, there was a graphic that TSN released prior to the game on Saturday, and it's just awful. Like, you look at these stats, and every one of them is just real bad. Like, it's definitely, if we're looking at it in terms of the Prem, this is probably relegation statistics, if we're being real.
It's going to be League One relegation statistics. Good God.
Now you're talking about Leyton Orient.
Okay. You didn't need to make it personal. We were having a good recording so far. I'm going to pretend you didn't just say that.
Never happened. Stop. Okay, sticking back to the Whitecaps, guys.
Unfortunately.
So these are the stats. So throughout Mark DeSantos' tenure, he has 13 wins, 27 losses now with that loss to Seattle yesterday on Saturday, 11 draws, only 55 goals scored, and 92 goals against. 95, pardon me, because now the Sounders have scored three against the Whitecaps in the last game. So that's now 95. When the Whitecaps concede first, they are 1-20-3. That's right. They've lost 20 games when they are scored on first. And when they score first, they only win 12 games. They lose 8, and they draw 4. And, I mean, for me, the biggest statistic there is the fact that they've allowed 95 goals against throughout 50 games. That's
What's the goals for? Did you say that? Like,
they basically average a goal per game. They've scored 56 now with the Montero penalty at the weekend. But that's basically a goal per game, and it's proven. At the bottom of the graphic, it says the Whitecaps have only scored a goal or less in 34 matches out of the 50.
Good God.
So it really is, I mean, I don't want to call out Mark DeSantos or anything, but it's just, you can clearly tell something's not working. And although we have seen some slight improvement this year, I will say, because last year was just shambolic, there's still a problem here. And it's getting to the point where you look at the lineups, and it's something we'll dive into in a sec here, the lineup against the Sounders. But you look at the lineups, you look at the formations, you look at the decisions the coaching staff is making. It's a bit concerning because there's definitely quality players that can make a difference in this team. Michael Baldissimo, I mean, he came on against the Sounders and he had, I think, four passes that were absolutely mind-blowing and just opened the game that little bit more for the Whitecaps. And also, Jordy Reyna, who has now been transferred to DC United, he came out this past week and he said, I didn't have a good relationship with the coach. He didn't have a good relationship with Mark DeSantos. So that just goes to say, Jordy Reyna, probably one of the quickest, paciest, skillful players the Whitecaps didn't have a good relationship with Mark DeSantos. So it just goes to show that you need somebody leading that can really gravitate good energy to any type of person. And Jordy Reyna is a special guy because he has had his problems with the club. We've known that. But you need a manager that's going to be able to get the best out of those type of players. And also, as I said before, identify good players that make a difference and make good lineup decisions. Get good formations, build an identity. It's something we talked about last week with Alex. Go check out that episode if you haven't already. We talked a lot about identity, and the Whitecaps clearly don't have that right now. It's tough to see. It's tough to watch. I mean, I know I've been going on here for a bit, Ben. I know you want to talk, but
I got a job. Yeah,
it's just, you look at these stats, and it really is like disappointing. There's so many words to describe it, but like disappointing, weak. It's just brutal.
Would you say lifeless or bleak or any of the words that I used on on
lifeless at times? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can just hear the your voice.
Disappointment. That's what it is.
Can I jump in on this, or do you have a little bit more?
Yeah, no, for sure. And then we'll dive into the lineups.
One thing that this is the biggest thing that I feel like, I don't want to say no one's talking about, but it commonly gets overlooked. People are saying that, oh, we need a 10 to come in and ignite this team. And
which then, is true. It is true.
I'm not saying mm-hmm. that's not the case. You know, I would love, you know, a beautiful number 10 to drop out of the sky into, you know, if that were to happen, I wouldn't say no. But realistically, that's not going to happen. If we do bring someone in, do you know how special he's going to have to be to elevate this team around him? Look at this. I don't want to go too hard on the lineup here just yet, because we're going to get into that in a minute. Andy Rose and Janier Bakel were the center midfield pairing. Do you know how much energy and creativity and spark and flair this number 10 is going to have to bring into this team to drag that midfield forward, to find Cavallini some more service? So I haven't been impressed really at all by Cavallini during his time here in Vancouver. I know he was a big, shiny new signing and whatever. He's got the same amount of goals as missed penalties. That is a bad stat for a DP to have almost at the end of your first season. We're not, you know, I know it's been a weird season and he didn't go to the MLS's back tournament. There's excuses. No, he's got to be finishing, like we said, that chance against Seattle. I can, you know, pick 10 off the top of my head. But the big thing is for me that this number 10, wherever or whoever he may be, he's going to have to be so special to really elevate and drag this team forward. You see in basketball I think the common saying is you have two superstars and you can win a championship. You have three and you can build a dynasty. That's fair. In soccer, obviously it's different. There's 11 players, it's a much bigger surface. That's fair. So this number 10, he's going to be part of the solution. He isn't the solution. There is so many other moving pieces going around this mystery man that we don't even know who he is or where he is or how he's doing. There's so many moving pieces around this, and those moving pieces are Mark DeSantis's pieces. This is the thing that I always go in these big loops. But coming back to my main point here, Mark DeSantis has brought in the majority of this team during his 2 years as Whitecaps manager. Only two players are currently still on the team that were on the team in 2017 and before. That's Nowinski and Tybert. I'm not really counting Montero because he went away and came back or whatever. Yeah. So the majority of this team are players that Mark DeSantis went out and said, I like the way this guy looks, how he plays, his style, bring him to Vancouver. So it's not like he took over from Carl Robinson and the team was a mess and they had nobody and players were refusing to play. It wasn't, you know, Carl Robinson didn't gift Mark DeSantis a championship caliber team. I'm not saying that at all. But Mark DeSantis has said, these are the players I want to play for this club. And he's gone out and he's brought a lot of them in. And I mean, just looking at the starting lineup here, Cavallini, Milinkovic, Bakel, Dahomey, Ali Adnan, you go down onto some of the subs, actually a lot of them were kids that came on. But again, Owusu, another player, just a lot of players that Mark DeSantis has said, I like the way you look, I like the way you play, come be on my team. He's done that. He's pieced them together. He's had all the resources. He's had all the time. He's had all the chances. He's had all the second chances, third chances, however long you want to go down that list. This is the team that Mark DeSantis has built, and it's gotten him absolutely nowhere. And we're going to move on in just a second and hop into the starting lineup. But just about what you, I just wanted to hear what, if you, you know, if I know I just spat a whole lot of information at you there, a whole lot that I've been holding onto my chest for quite a while now, but this is Mark DeSantis's team. This is who he's wanted. And the fact that this is who he's wanted and who he's been able to bring to the club, and they're putting in these performances and they're in last place and all this sort of stuff, it's just not good enough. And I'm sorry, I'm going to end every little bit I go on if it's not good enough, but it's the truth. Sebastian, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I mean,
the 10-minute, you know, ramble there.
It's all good.
It had to be said.
We have to get that off our chest for sure.
Exactly.
But you're so right, Ben. I mean, the fact that MDS has a full off season to bring this team in and really craft it into what he wants. You look at even a player like Imbaum, someone that MDS really wanted, and he was – he was probably the first guy that MDS really wanted on his wish list. And I think he even hinted it, if I can remember, in one of the first press conference or even one of the first scrums he ever did. He was like, we're looking at players from South Korea, from all over the world. Like, he even hinted it in that little short sentence. We may not have known it back then, but we eventually knew that it was going to be Hwang In-bum when the transfer was confirmed. And you look at In-bum's time in Vancouver, and it just goes to show that this team is a little bit shambolic at times. And MDS can't really, like, identify who he wants at this club. I mean, you can say, oh, I like how you play, but he just doesn't get the right pieces in, it looks like. He doesn't identify the key players. He doesn't have the system right. And that goes back to the identity that this team wants to have. In-bum was a player that was regarded as a 6, an 8 that could creatively play forward for the Whitecaps. And we never really got the best out of him. And look what he's doing now at Rubin Kazan. He's firing goals. He's firing an assist. He's averaging more key passes than he ever did here at the Whitecaps, which is a big stat for all of us soccer analysts, I guess. And it's weird, and it really is buzzkill. Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah,
it's bad. And you look at the team MDS has assembled and the acquisitions he's made, and they just don't look like they fit into the playing style. That goes back to identity, as I said before, and you can look at that even from the front office standpoint. Like, is this just MDS who's trying to form this team?
Sorry, I don't want to keep cutting you off. Mm-hmm. Axel Schuster in Europe is a very well-known man. He's very liked. He's very respected. He has connections spanning all over Germany and Poland and lots. He's got a lot of connections in, you know, big, high-up places. Mark Dos Santos has all of that at his disposal, and he still hasn't been able to take advantage of that. I mean, yeah, I know we're – sorry, I'll let you go on, but just, you know, Axel Schuster has those connections, those links, these people's phone numbers that he can say, hey, who have you got for me? And it's just not happening. But go on, sorry.
Yeah, no, and you're right with that, because Axel Schuster also has numbers of numerous European agencies that – actually have really good players at their disposals as well. But just going back to what I was saying, eventually it looks like this team is going to need a rebuild from inside the club, from inside the ownership. And I think we've said this numerous times on the podcast, where we need this ownership group to sell. I mean, it's the reality. The ownership group is not showing intent. It's not showing a passion to bring the best soccer to Vancouver. And I know that's something big to say, but it's like, it's the reality. The ownership just hasn't shown that they want to invest in this team. And you look at maybe trying to put money into the team, and it just never happens. It's something the fans have wanted for a while. It's the MLS culture we're talking about now. MLS goes out and spends millions of dollars on numerous DPs, young DPs, in fact. It's really unfortunate that the Whitecaps can't really seem to grasp that idea of how the MLS works now. And they've been able to do that for a while, but they've just never done it. I think that's something that really has to change if it's not Mark Dos Santos, because to me, what this team has looked like over the past 6-7 months, even though there's been a global pandemic in the midst of it, this is really Mark Dos Santos's team. He's the only one really putting any effort into this team, if that makes any sense. I know it's hard to say that because the Whitecaps have been in a bit of a rough spell lately, but he's the only one that's really been able to put an effort and say, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And he even called out the ownership group a couple weeks ago, I think, or even months ago, actually, in one of the pressers. He was like, I want to win more than even the ownership group. And that's true. I can 100% see that, because the ownership group is not taking the initiative to make this club better. And although we look at the stats that MDS has achieved, I wouldn't say it's an achievement at all, but the stats he's racked up over his time at the Whitecaps, and they're not good, but part of that is the ownership as well. That's my little rant as well. And I've said this millions of times to Ben off the mic, and even on the mic as well. It's just, I think for a while, this club has needed a better ownership group. It's the truth, because you even look back to 2018, 2019, it's been tough years for the Whitecaps and their fans. So they really need a new ownership group to step up. And I mean, I'm not sure if I'd be outing Mark Dos Santos at this point. I would say I'm really on the edge of it because, again, we're going to go into the lineups just now and we're going to talk about another formation.
Yeah.
And a new, like a little bit of a surprise in midfield as well with Andy Rose partnering Jano Bikel. So it's a club that needs rebuilding on the financial and coaching aspects. Mm-hmm. I think the club has already been through enough rebuilding in terms of the squad, the roster and stuff like that. But I think it's time to rebuild the club from the inside and not the outside, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like we've already rebuilt this team twice in the span of 2 years. This yeah. team is nothing what it was like last year in terms of players. Yeah, that's my little rant, I guess. Sorry if I went on along for another 10 minutes.
it's fine. You know what? That's why we have this podcast. Yeah. And for any of our listeners out there, you know, we watch the games too. And, you know, we are journalists. We do write for respective, individual outlets. I'm with Last Word on Sports. Sebastian's with World Football Index. And we have our Twitters and we have this podcast. And this part, I think Sebastian can agree with me on this, that we can't get a lot of our thoughts like this into our articles or whatever, just because it's a little bit more standard. Let's get a game recap. Who impressed you? How do the goals look like? Then we have this kind of free open form where we can say, you know, I don't like how the way MDS has rebuilt this team. I don't like the fact that Carl Robinson gave him a blank canvas and he's done this with it when it could have gone a different direction. They could say this. Like, that's why we enjoy having this podcast. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed listening through episodes 1 through 23 and on to the rest so far. But I guess sort of with that, we'll keep it a little bit shorter. We'll try not to rant as much anymore, at least for the rest of this episode, who God only knows what's going to happen against San Jose. Diving into the lineup again for the Sounders game, a 4-4-2, it was interesting. There were talking points. There were some things that we kind of expected. Brian Meredith gets the start, well, he got the start, against Sounders, his former team. No Evan Bush. Doesn't completely surprise me. I wouldn't have been surprised either way if he got the start or if he was, you know, sitting for another week or so. I expect him to play against the Earthquakes, but you know what? Who knows? At this point,
You never know with Whitecaps lineups.
We always want to do predictions and sort of that sort of stuff. And, you know, I had my little prediction at the end of last episode with Alex that Theo Bear is going to come on. He's going to be the guy in the Seattle game. And you know what Theo Bear did? He came on with 7 or 8 minutes to go. And he got, I've got it here, I think 8 touches of the ball, was it? 3. You know what?
Wow.
So as much as we'd like to say that we know the Whitecaps and we know soccer and we know MDS, we don't, because MDS is another Whitecaps. He doesn't know MDS. It changes every week.
Okay, the point is not to rant anymore.
The point is not to rant. Okay, keep it simple. Keep it numbers. 4-4-2. Nice and simple, right? Ali Adnan, Jake Nowinski out, fullbacks. No Gutierrez or Owusu. Those guys weren't clear to play. Cornelius Nkadoi. I like this. I think Cornelius is growing with every game, and he's really growing on me. I like the way he plays, like the way he's very vocal, he's very physical in the air, something that I think Godoy maybe shies away from a little bit, especially after sitting out all this time with his injury. He's not the most vocal of players out there. So regardless, I like the center back pairing. What about you, Sebastian? Cornelius Godoy, pique your fancy?
Yeah, I think it's definitely probably one of the better center back pairings the Whitecaps have. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happened to Ranko over the past couple of weeks. He's kind of dropped off a bit, and he really impressed me in the first, I'd say, at MLS's back, he was really good. He impressed me a lot, especially the ability to carry the ball forward as well, which is something we haven't seen for a while now from him. And I think that goes back to MDS. I mean, how do you form this team?
It all goes back to MDS. You blow it all up. It's all him.
Okay. It's all him for sure. It's just, why don't you use that to your ability? You have a player like Ranko who can dribble the ball forward, and you know, he's strong, he's powerful, and he has an eye for a pass. You can make those defense splitting passes, and we haven't seen that in a while. Like, I'm asking myself, where is that old Ranko that we saw when he came in? But as for this center-back pairing, I think it is probably one of the stronger pairings right now in terms of recent performances and stuff like that. I'm not going to throw any shade at Godoy for the own goal. I think that was completely that was completely accidental, and he had no idea. Like, that was just the worst thing that could have happened to the Whitecaps at that point. It was it was just a really lucky deflection for the Sounders. But I do think that Cornelius has grown a lot, and I've said this before. I wasn't the biggest fan of him before, but this season he's definitely stepped up a lot ever since the Sporting KC game, where he had a little bit of a downhill performance, really. And then Godoy, we've known he's been class, and I think he adds a lot of calmness to the back four for the Whitecaps. And we've seen that in the past few games, especially against Portland. I thought he did really well. So I think he's definitely a mainstay in that back line. And as for the midfield, if we move on to the midfield, it was surprising again. I mean, you expect to see Baldy and you don't see Baldy, you see Rose. It's a little interesting. I do have to say, I really like the first half of that midfield partnership. And I thought Bikel was really good. Apart from his red card, I thought he was really good winning the ball back and playing the ball into Freddie on the transition. I thought that was really good. And you can really tell that Bikel is a double pivot type of player in the midfield. But it's another system. It's another identity for the Whitecaps in this match. It's another formation. You have to get these pieces right for every team. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just go out and play a different formation for every game. I know there's managers that do that a lot, but they have an identity and they stick with it no matter the formation. The Whitecaps don't.
Yeah, no, I do agree. The big surprise was obviously Andy Rose in the midfield. He has experience there. He's played a number of games there before, not necessarily for the Whitecaps, but he does have experience elsewhere. More of a holding mid, more like, you know, more set responsibilities, more defensive. And this was a big point for me in the Portland game. Owusu and Bikel, I've been really excited to see the two of them together. I think they complement each other really well when they're playing the potential that they're able to when they're having a good day. I think the two of them together could be, you know, locked down almost in the midfield. But there needs to be one more. And that's where this Cam or Freddie Montero or Milinkovic, hell, Ryan Raposo, because I really enjoy watching him play. That's where we just need that one extra man in the midfield, even if it takes away some of our width or it takes away one of our strikers. That extra body midfield would do so much better than just having the Bikel and Owusu pairing of they're both very defensive. We've seen Owusu get forward a little bit more in the last couple of games, and I like to see that. You know, I didn't really expect him to have that in his locker, and he pulled that out, I think, in one of the Montreal games back at BC Place a couple of weeks ago. And I was pleasantly surprised. I think that the two of them, they were too defensive. And then what do? You take out Owusu for injury. And, you know, obviously we didn't really get word on how he's doing or much from MDS in the post game. I might have missed something, but I didn't pick up on any sort of timeline or anything from Owusu or Gutierrez.
And it's unfortunate because Owusu is just coming off probably his best game as a Whitecap as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. But I mean, again, you've got, look at the situation there, put themselves in there. Two defensive midfielders with Owusu and Bikel. Take out Owusu, and then look at who you've got on the bench. You've got Michael Baldissimo, who we've seen really impact games. He can turn it on its head with his long stretch passing. He's a lot more physical and defensive than some people might give him credit for. Patrick Metcalf starting to get some minutes here and there. Ryan Raposo, you know, you can drop him into like a Cam sort of spot. But you go with born center back Andy Rose. That confused me. I sort of get the thinking. But I get like 60% of the logic. I understand where he's coming from, but there has to be that extra bit more in the midfield than just Rose and Bikel. Because what a bland, boring, vanilla midfield those two were. They got the first 45. They got the job done.
They were solid.
They were solid. But, you know, if it's late in the game, one of the last people on the Whitecaps that I want charging forward with the ball is going to be Andy Rose. Like, I have a lot of respect for the guy. He's very, you know, polite and mature whenever he comes on and does the media calls, because they typically, you know, look to him as a sacrificial goat whenever the Whitecaps lose and they send him out to the face of the press. But yeah, no, I'm not trusting him in those sort of situations. And I mean, he came off, and I'm pretty sure it was Baldissimo that came on for him. But regardless, I'm like, the Rose Bakel pairing didn't make sense, and it didn't work. It's that simple. It looked like it could have, but it didn't. And that's, I'm hoping, is the end of that experiment.
Yeah, and I'm honestly really grateful that we got the chance to see Baldy play live at BC Place now. Mm-hmm. Because we firsthand saw his quality, and I think it's a big question mark for everyone to not see him in the starting lineup week in, week out. He's had a great season for sure, a great groundbreaking season, a great debut season for the Whitecaps, and he's been their best midfielder, no doubt about it. Like, he's just got something that none of the other midfielders in this Whitecaps team have, and that's progressively moving the ball and using it to the Whitecaps' advantage. It's what we talked about a couple episodes ago of not having possession to have possession, but having possession to use possession efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that really well. He can switch the ball from all over the park and pick out defense-splitting passes. He's really good at that. And he, like you said, he's also improved his defensive capabilities, which is something Mark alluded to when he first made his debut, that he needed to work a little bit more on his defending attributes, but he's worked a lot on that, and you can tell that he's improved on it. I think in the game, he was only in the game for 15 minutes, and he hit one more pass in the final third than Andy Rose, and one fewer than Johnny Obikel.
Lovely.
Maybe we need a double pivot of Baldissimo and Bikel, I would say.
I would like to see that. But
I would like to see MDS at least try. He said numerous times that they can't play a double pivot because Baldy isn't just fit for that role. He likes him better as like the lone defensive midfielder in a 4-3-3.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just let the kid do, like, just give the kid some experience, see what he can do in that position, right?
Exactly.
It's, again, we go back to the Rose and Bakel partnership, and it's not what we want to see. We don't want to see Rose in midfield. He's not going to take the ball and really carry it forward, as you said, Ben. He's really transpired to be a true center back, and midfield was his position before, but I did like what they did in the first half of this game. I thought it worked well, but it's just not what you want to see going forward. You really need that creative number 10 to step in and move the Whitecaps attack, not only the midfield, but you got to move the attack and possession around the field and use it, as I said before, use it efficiently.
Then rounding out the rest of the lineup, Milinkovic, Dahomey out wide, nothing too crazy there. Cavallini, Montero up front.
This was actually, sorry to cut you up, but this was actually, like, I was really excited to see this, and I really want to see more of this going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can take the reins on this. Why do you want to see? What did you like? What did you see from the Seattle game? Take the reins on this.
Well, from this front four in particular, in the Seattle game, there wasn't too much because, again, they're playing, even though they had a good first half and whatsoever, the two midfielders, again, that just, it doesn't allow the Whitecaps to gain enough possession going forward. They just, Rose and Bakel aren't players that are going to move the ball all over the place. Bakel can do that at times, but he needs help with that. He needs help with that. Mm-hmm. And Rose is most of the time going to pass back, but the front four for me in the Sounders game, just, they weren't really good. Dahomey in particular, I think he had probably his worst game as a Whitecap. He wasn't doing much going forward, and he lost possession really cheaply at times. But I think this front four has potential for the Whitecaps. You've seen these guys really step in and play well at times. Cavallini is someone that we're going to talk about a bit later, but Montero, Dahomey, and Milinkovic has shown bright spots throughout the season, and they can really be a force to be reckoned with going forward. I think in the RSL game, they really showed that. Montero, Milinkovic, Dahomey, and Cavallini all had really good performances in that game. But just going forward, I really want to see more of this because it does have the potential, you know, with Milinkovic's directness, his 1v1 ability. Dahomey also has that as well, but he's a little bit more conservative and is more of a getting to the byline type of player. He's not really one to take players on and try and go for goal himself. He's more or less going to try and get to the byline and get across, and Milinkovic is going to create and probably make runs into the box and get that ball. Montero, we obviously know what he can do. We've been talking about him a lot in the podcast. And Cavallini can finish, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
that's
what we thought he could do.
I can finish. Everyone can finish. It's just, will he finish? Will he do it well?
Will he finish? That's often the real question.
Yeah.
But no, Cava can get into areas, but he just has to finish. And we go back to the Seattle chance, and he didn't finish there.
And you go back, and it's MDS's fault, like always.
Oh God, what an episode.
Yeah, and I guess kind of we can roll off that into our new segment. We tried this out with Alex. I enjoyed it. I think Sebastian did too. And, you know, I think Alex did, but he, you know, doesn't count. He's not a host of the show. He's over on the Third Sub. Go check those guys out. At, what was it, Third Sub Pod on Twitter? I'm pretty
sure
it was.
Third Sub Pod on Twitter. Yeah. We'll be doing something with them pretty shortly, a nice little round table, so that there'll be more stuff on there that we will be talking about.
They just hit 50 episodes, so we're, you know, we've got some ground to make up on, but, you know, with time. Yeah. But, yeah, so no Alex, so obviously it's just me and Sebastian, and we tried out the one good, one bad segment, and I think it went well. We had, you know, some good discussions coming off of that. Do you want to start this one off today, Sebastian, or should I take the reins on it?
I'll dive into it. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to start off with the one good, obviously, but for me, the one good was the first half overall and the defensive structure of the team. Mm-hmm. I think they didn't let Lodeiro do too much in the first half. They kind of let him loose in the second.
Yeah.
But
which is a bad idea.
You don't want to do
going
that
forward. Don't do that. Going forward, don't do that again.
No, don't do that.
That wasn't fun.
but overall, the first half they defended pretty well. Mm-hmm. And at times, I think the play of Johnny Obikel, as I said before, was really good, breaking up play at the top of the box and then playing Montero. And then there was probably three or two opportunities where the exact same play happened, where Obikel picked up the ball and he was able to get it to Montero's feet, and Montero turned. And he was either to find a pass to Dahomey, or he tried a pass at least to Cavallini or Milinkovic, and it just didn't quite work out, but you could see there was like potential there. Like there was definitely like some threat if they could have nailed that down. But I think that for me was the one good positive. Just the play of the defense was really good. And I think Jake Nowinski had a really good game.
Yeah.
I think he really shut down Jordan Morris in this game compared to MLS's back game. And he did really well with him in the first half, apart from that one header where he let him loose in the first half. It was like at the end of the first half Morris just snuck in behind Nowinski, but apart from that, he shut him down, and it's definitely a defensive performance Whitecaps can build on that first half of the Sounders game. And just transitioning over to the one bad for me.
Well, there's many bads, but we only have time, and we only get to choose one. So
yeah, the one bad for me is just the midfield. I mean,
so true.
No surprise. Yeah, it's the midfield. I mean, for me, Baldi not starting, I think that's a big thing. I mean, we talked about it earlier, and I don't want to dive too much into it because we're running a little bit on time here, but this team needs Baldi in the midfield. And as I said before, the guy can play the ball. He's creative. He has vision. He can play the ball like nobody else on this Whitecaps team in terms of midfielders. So we've seen it before. He can really change a game, give this Whitecaps a little bit more dynamic offensive structure in the midfield. And it's what they're lacking right now. And it's something the front four of Montero, Cavallini, Milinkovic, Dahomey would really benefit, I think, from, because they need service. They need balls to the feet. They need someone to combine with. They need someone who can be direct and quick with possession. It goes back to my point of using possession efficiently. And Baldi can do that. So that was my negative from this game. I really want to see Baldissimo start, and I really want to see him start going forward.
I can agree to that. I think kind of your good and bad go hand in hand. It was a defensive mindset straight away from MDS, going with Rose and Bikel, two very defensive players as the only two, you know, center midfielders. So I think right away we could see that defense was going to be at the forefront of those 90 minutes, and it was. So MDS got that right. And then I guess moving on to mine, I'm going to start with my bad, because I want to have a little discussion about my good before we transfer and kind of look at a preview of the San Jose game. So my bad is going to be, it's sort of a good for me, but a bad for everyone else. I was right. And in the last podcast, I said that a big thing for the Whitecaps is going to be starting off the game. The first 10 minutes are going to be huge. Obviously, we gave up the early goal against Portland. Then we kind of figured them out. We got better set up defensively. We kind of figured out how to attack. That came after the first 10 minutes when we were already down a goal against a very solid and good Portland side. I wanted to make sure that didn't happen again with Seattle. Well, obviously, not me personally. I don't have any input on the game, on how it goes. Unfortunately, one day, if we have that Whitecaps media game day, then that's going to be my tryout. I will be the number 10. I will rise. I will be the voice of the people on the field. Get Ben on the Whitecaps. 2021, it's happening. Mark
it's my happening. Tweet it.
Yeah, it's going to talk. I'm going to speak it. Was it speak into existence? That's it. but yeah, I've lost my train of thought now. but my thing was starting the game and riding out the first 10 minutes, figuring out how Seattle is going to attack, how they're going to defend, how you can, contain them, how you can catch them even on the counter, or if, you know, what the possession is going to look like. You can tell so much from the first 10 minutes. And there's an old saying that football, soccer, English, so I'm going to go for the football, and it's the saying, football is a game of two halves. So that means what you do in the first half, it's usually best if you try to do that in the second half, if it works. The Whitecaps rode out those first 10 minutes. They had a good Cavallini chance. They defended well. I was like, oh, this game's going to be like decently back and forth and tighter than most people would have thought. They went more than 5 minutes without conceding, with unlike the Portland game. So I was thinking, hey, this is an improvement. It's looking good. Halftime, 0-0. Okay. Game of two halves. Second half, within, what was it, 13 minutes of the second half, and the Whitecaps find themselves down 3-0. Again, I think this is the fourth time I've said it. It's not good enough, and that can't happen.
Like, and you put in just to jump in real quick something. You put in that performance in the first half for a reason.
Like, yeah,
you've done all the hard work in the first half. Now you go out and put in at least that extra 10%, just to get you over the line and maybe create something again going forward.
Exactly.
Like that Cavallini chance. Yeah. It's something that really disappointed me to see the Whitecaps not come out and really take advantage of something they really did well, a really good performance in the first half.
Yeah. The LAFC game, what was it, 4 goals in 14 minutes? Like, at least this one's only 3 in 13. So, you know, that's an improvement, I guess. it's a game of two
halves. 1 minute and one goal to spare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we're making... You know, we're catching up on the TSN graphic. We're making progress moving forward on that. it's my thing was I was hoping they would start quickly and well. They did in the first half, not the second. And obviously, you know, regardless, starting quick was something I was hoping I'd see. They somewhat did, but nowhere near, you know, enough, clearly, at least in the second half. That was my bad. My good is Ali Adnan, which might sound a bit strange because I have been a bit critical of Mr. Adnan throughout 2020 and even, you know, his whole time as a Whitecap, but I didn't have a podcast back then, lucky for him. I'm looking at some of the numbers and some of the stats he put up. He led the team in key passes, pass accuracy, aerials won, and touches. He's at left back, obviously no Gutierrez due to the injury. But yeah, Ali Adnan, he had a very solid game against Portland as well. I think he was our best player against Portland. He was one of our better players yesterday against Seattle. And like I said, he led the team in a number of categories. So that's my good, that he is improving and that he is on an upward trajectory heading into this late stretch of games. And building off that, and this was something that I kind of thought of while watching the Seattle game and watching him go forward and the way he would kind of use the ball in a more advanced position. And this might sound incredibly stupid the second it leaves my mouth. And, you know, if it is, don't judge me for it. I would like to see Ali Adnan at center mid.
I knew you were going to say that.
He passes the ball decently well. He's accurate. He knows when to get forward. He's a little bit lazy in coming back. I'll give him that. Maybe like a holding mid position. But less on, like, I think he's tall and he's physical and he's strong. There's no denying that. He's confident on the ball. There's no denying that. He loves to go forward and try to score goals, but never does, apart from free kicks. There's no denying that. So, I mean, at this point, I don't want to say the season's lost because, you know, by the will of God, we're only 3 points out of the playoffs. But is it that crazy to at least think about and maybe experiment for 10 minutes in a game that you're either winning or you're losing to at least try him out in a more central and more involved position than at left back or at left mids? Like, before we preview the San Jose game, am I stupid for thinking that, Sebastian?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking, like, leading up to you announcing to our listeners your thoughts on Adnan playing in center mid, I really thought, I was like, oh, he's going to say he wants to see Adnan play in center mid. But I think it's something they could try.
Because I'm going to interrupt you 1,000 times for the rest of the season.
We've done it so much in this episode, I think.
Exactly. It's a fun, I like this one. This has been a fun one, considering how gloomy the game went. What does Ali Adnan, what does Andy Rose bring to the center of the park that Ali Adnan doesn't? The only thing I can think of is purely, size. And Ali Adnan's still a big, strong guy.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Rose is just bigger. And I think Ali Adnan's better on the ball. I think he's more attacking. I think he's honestly more defensive too than Andy Rose. He's more athletic. He's better on the ball. He might not be as vocal in the center of the field, but then again, that's why you have maybe someone like Gianni Obakel, Leonard Arusu right in beside him. I don't see anything that Andy Rose brings to the midfield that Ali Adnan doesn't. So I'll let you get back to your point. Just I wanted to, sprinkle that on there.
For sure. The one thing for me, and I think you nailed that down, that Adnan can definitely offer a lot more than Andy Rose in the midfield. I think what's always difficult for, and I'm not sure if Ali Adnan's ever played in center mid before. Yeah. We don't know that, but what's always difficult for a wide player to do is to transition to a more central role, because in the midfield, you're going to get pressured more. It's just a reality. Out wide, you're going to have that little bit more time to really to pick your head up and look up and maybe decide, oh, should I drive forward? Should I play back? Should I play in the middle, etc. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of the park, you're just going to have that little less split second. It may only be like a little millisecond, but it's a big difference.
It's enough.
And I don't know. We don't know again if Adnan's ever played in center mid, but maybe he might have a hard time adjusting to the fact that, oh, there's more pressure incoming. So Ali Adnan's not really a type of guy that will play the ball to get rid of it, if that makes sense. He'll play the ball and try and do something with it.
Yeah.
So that's my only concern. As much as I would like to see him in midfield, I really do want to see maybe what he can offer in there. I do think Baldissimo was the answer in midfield. I think Adnan will have a little bit more difficult time adjusting to the role of a midfielder of, turning back and maybe playing it back at times or knowing when to go forward, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's an idea far out of the ordinary. I think it's a good idea. I do want to see it happen. I got to give him credit. We got to do that. We have to risk ourselves and see what we can come up with here, because we want to see new stuff. Mm-hmm. And as much as MDS always likes to give us new stuff, we do want to see some good new stuff. Yeah. And I think at this rate, let's just see Adnan in midfield. We know he can play at winger at times. And if he doesn't play good in midfield, left backs is his best position, because at times as a winger, he wasn't able to really find the same opportunities. That may have been because he was a little bit on the downside, and now he's playing better than he was before. We might want to see him at winger again, but left back is his best position because he has more time on the ball and he can venture forward and he can time those runs a little bit better, I think.
Fair enough. One thing that before we move on and start looking at the San Jose game, when we talked to our friend Jamin Moore from down in San Jose, who covers the Earthquakes, a couple of episodes ago, I think he was on the first one, so that would have been episode
the first of the 21. Check that out.
That would have been episode 21. So go check that out with Jamin Moore. covering the Quakes. We asked him, at this point, did he consider the season lost? And it's a very good question. The more that I think about that, the more it applies to the Whitecaps, that we're 3 points out of the playoffs, but we haven't played well. I'd almost prefer it if the Whitecaps didn't make the playoffs, so we can really look at it and say changes need to be made. And I think that if we do lose against San Jose, we're going to go more, I think we'll have a bit more of a conversation, a bit more in depth about how this, like, is this season done? If we don't get the win against San Jose, we'll promise that for our next episode when it's just me and Sebastian. Down the road, we might have Jamin come back on for the third wheel derby coverage. But I think we'll write that down and remember that for the next episode, because I think that could be a hot topic, a hot debate.
To jump in real quick, because you mentioned that we asked Jamin that question, I think it was 2 weeks ago, right after the LAFC game.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, if I'm correct, the Whitecaps were only, or they were actually still in the playoff spot.
We were outside on goal difference at that time.
Really?
Yeah, we were tied, but we were out. Actually, we were seventh. No, that was when we were.
We were seventh.
We were seventh. Yeah.
And Jamin's San Jose Earthquakes were, I think, sitting in 11th.
Yeah.
And now you look at us, and we're sitting in 11th. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're 11th, and they're 9th. And
that just goes. Yeah, because they've had.
And also, props to San Jose. You know, they just beat a very difficult LAFC team.
And LA Galaxy as well.
And LA Galaxy. An LAFC team that, you know, a week earlier just whooped the Whitecaps off the field in embarrassing fashion. And the Quakes, who, according to Mr. Moore, said their season is essentially written off. Now they're a point outside the playoffs, and they've got all the confidence in the world coming off back-to-back wins, going up against lackluster, bleak Whitecap side, you know? They're feeling good right now. And I guess this is kind of a perfect segue moving on to the San Jose game. San Jose, this, you know, on paper right now, it looks close, but San Jose, the mindset and the way that these two teams are thinking right now in their respective locker rooms, worlds apart, considering there's just 2 points in it in the standings. These two sides are in very different mindsets.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you go back to the fact that San Jose has won two of their last. Well, they're on a two-game winning streak, basically.
Yeah, back to back.
And they've beat two really good teams in those two games, especially LAFC.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show how quick this league can change.
Oh, yeah.
Anything – I think Ben said it a couple episodes ago. 6 points, 3 points can go a big way towards, you know, putting yourself in a playoff spot and, you know, changing the dynamic of a season even. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what's happened for both of these teams. We should probably ask Jamin when we have him on in the future, what do you feel now? Depending on where the Quakes are, because he had literally written off the season for the Quakes. He was already thinking about next year, contracts and all that type of stuff.
Well, at that point, they only had 2 wins on the year heading into October. And, like, that's, you know, no position to be in. I know the Whitecaps in our inaugural season, you know, we had 4 wins heading into October or September before we moved to BC Place. But, you know, they're a point outside the playoffs, and they are brimming with confidence now.
Mm-hmm. And then you look at the Whitecaps, who are just not in the best frame of mind, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it really is going to be a good game, and I think it's going to prove decisive to what the club does in the future, to what the season will mean for the Whitecaps, honestly, because if you can't beat a team like the Quakes, it's just kind of –
You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. You don't deserve to be close to the playoffs. And, like, no offense to San Jose, but, you know, Jamin Moore admitted himself, they're not a good team. They have a lot of struggling pieces right now. Things aren't going well for them either. So it's disrespect.
The thing is, these two teams, and I'll give it to the Quakes as well, the Whitecaps and the Quakes both have good players.
Mm-hmm.
They both have quality in their rosters, but they don't
utilize it.
Show it. Like, they don't know how to show it because they don't have an identity. I think Almeida has put in a bit of an identity into the Quakes since he came into that side, but they don't have a true identity that's successful week in and week out. And even when you lose, at times you can still have that identity and still stay true to it and be proud of it. You know what I mean? You look at a team like Portland at times where they'll We played them the other day, but they stay true to their identity.
Yeah.
And they still find results with it somehow. Mm-hmm. Even the Whitecaps game the other day, the Whitecaps pretty much dominated that game in terms of possession. I would say even in chances as well.
Wait, which game? The Portland game?
The Portland game.
I wouldn't say dominate, but it was close. It was
well, like they dominated possession and
they had the lion's share of possession, sure. Okay, I'll give you that.
And they had a lot. I think they did have more chances than Portland did, besides the final 10 minutes.
I clearly didn't do my research.
but they still get results with that identity. So I think again, it's going to be a really good game between the Quakes and the Caps, and we're just going to have to see what they both get onto. It's honestly a really tough game to predict, right, Ben?
It is, yeah. Predictions are, you know, they can be all over the place right now. Sebastian, you mentioned both sides, quality in their lineups when they just don't utilize it. We come back to this question to kind of wrap up every episode. You're Mark DeSantis. How are you sending out the troops for – it's Wednesday, right? It's not Thursday. It is Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, how are you lining up the team for Wednesday against the Quakes?
For me, I want to see Bush start. I mean, you bring in a veteran goalkeeper when you have numerous injuries, and the Whitecaps now have 5 contracted goalkeepers on the roster. And
Because why not? Exactly.
So – just give Bush a go in net. I mean, we don't know if I looked at the details the other day, and he's on a contract until November 2021. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if 2021 is an option year for him.
I think it is, honestly. I could be wrong, but I think I saw somewhere that it was.
I think it's an option year for him. So give Bush a go and see what he can give you. Because if he's only going to be here for, I think, 9-8 games now, just give him a go.
Yeah.
Give him his debut. I want to see Bush in net. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to Brian Meredith. I thought he made some great saves in the Seattle game. But, again, you have to look forward and say, oh, who's my best?
And you've brought him in. You've spent money. You've brought him in. Get him in.
Get him in.
Yeah.
As for my back four, I would say Nowinski's is a staying in at that right back spot for sure. He put in a great
shift. We'll since we don't really know the status of Gutierrez and Owusu, we'll go without them for now.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for sure.
I don't know about you, but I'm not sure when they'll be back. So we'll go with no Tybert, Owusu, Kamiri, and Gutierrez.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Once he's a stalemate at that right back spot. Mm-hmm. I would say go with Godoy and Cornelius. Again, mm-hmm. I think that's the partnership going forward. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ranko come back in, but I doubt that. I think we're going to stick with Cornelius and Godoy. Mm-hmm. Adnan, again, at left back, there's not really center much option.
Interesting.
there's not really many options at left back anyway right now with Guti mm-hmm. out. So Adnan in at left back. And I'm going to go with a 4-3-3.
Okay.
And I'm gonna do something interesting with the midfield. So, I want to see Baldi.
How
obviously.
How interesting!
Oh, I'll get to it in a sec here. Baldi. I want to see Baldi at the center defensive mid position.
Okay.
Ooh, but Bekele's out red card. No, I just forgot. Mm-hmm. Oof, that's rough.
Spoiled your plans.
Absolutely spoiled my plans. And Cavo is also suspended, by the way, yellow card accumulation.
True.
Oh wow. I really just realized that.
Do you want me to – I can go through mine, and you can come back and finish yours.
That's tough because we only really have, if I'm correct, 2 players in midfield that have played extensive minutes so far. I mean, you have Metcalf and Raposo that can also play in midfield. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go with this, honestly, because it's at the top of my head. Just to keep it going forward, I'll put Baldi at center defensive mid, as I said. I'll bring in Raposo or Rose. I'm gonna go with Rose
at center mid and not holding it.
Yeah, center mid, or switch Baldi and Rose because okay. I mean I'm just going by who the Whitecaps have right now. This is what I want to see with what the numbers they have right now. This is not what I want to see going forward. I don't want to see Rose in midfield ever again, but in terms of
not a fan,
Wednesday's game, Rose at center defensive mid, Baldy at center mid, and beside those two, Freddie Montero at center mid.
Okay.
I want to see Freddie at center mid.
Okay. I can see that.
I want to play a little bit of a number 10 role where he has more of a freedom to go wherever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a pretty decent tackler of the ball as well.
Yeah.
And
plus he has a lot of energy. He's always running. Like he doesn't, slack off in that.
He may be like 32, 33, 34 years old, but he can run for sure. He still has the legs. We saw that against the Sounders where he can make some great passes. They just need that little bit more tweaking. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it before, especially in the Montreal game at home where he popped off. So that's my midfield. I want to see Montero in with Rosen, Baldy. And I think for the front three, I'm going to go with Milinkovic out wide on the left, Theo Bear up top, and Christian Dahomey on the right side.
Okay, I like that. Putting in my boy Theo Bear. I like that.
Yeah, the Bear. Let the Bear run.
Let the big dog eat, I'm telling you, man. Give him a chance. I like that. I like the 4-3-3. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. No pun intended. I don't think the 4-3-3 will be used because MDS will, shoot off his left hand before using the 4-3-3. Okay, so what we're hoping for. I'm hoping to see Bush and Net, same back four as we saw against Portland. So Nowinski, Nowinski, Godoy. I've already messed up my lines here. Godoy and Cornelius in the middle, Nowinski on the right, Alianen on the left. Unfortunately, not at center mid just yet. I'm going a 4-4-1-1, and I said the same thing. I said the same sort of thing last episode with Alex. On the left, we're going Milinkovic. On the right, Dahomey, keeping it classic. And then we're going to go in the middle, we're going to go Baldissimo. And we're going to go, there's no Bikel, there's no... Oh.
That's what I mean, right? Like, that's what happened to me.
It's a pickle.
And you can't put Raposo in as a holding mid. No. Like, I was going to try and do that, but no.
That's actually really tricky. God, I hope...
Rose.
For the Whitecaps' sake, I hope that Owusu's back. hang on, let me... So we'll go...
Tybert is back as well.
Hopefully Tybert is back. And Patrick Metcalf.
Okay.
How much would you like to see a Baldissimo Metcalf midfield pairing? I think it's risky.
Play the kids.
Get them in there. I'm telling you, Metcalf, he came on the podcast, episode 20. Go check that out. Episode 19, go check that out. Episode 20 was with JJ Adams. We've just got some fire guests on lately. We're killed. episode 19, guest Patrick Metcalf joining Baldissimo as the center midfield pairing. Freddie Montero at the first one, so like the center forward / cam. Mm-hmm. And Theo Bear up front, I'm telling you, man. But you know what? I love Theo Bear. I think he brings a lot to the table. The player and then we're going to wrap up this episode in just a second here. The player I was most impressed by in the Seattle game, Tassane Ricketts. He was on the field for about 9 or 10 minutes, maybe a little bit more. And I don't even think his stats really do him that good justice. Yeah, 4 touches, 66% pass accuracy. But the way he was moving and getting into good-looking positions, smart positions, he was showing off to be options off the pass. He came on in the 88th minute. But for 5 or so minutes, I was very, very impressed by Tassane Ricketts. And I wouldn't be surprised at all with the fact that Cavallini's out and that Theo Bear is 21, 22. I'm not trusting him for the full 90 minutes. I would not be surprised in the slightest if Tassane Ricketts comes on 65th, 70th minute, if it's a close game. I would love to see that, but I'm not giving him the start just because he is a bit older. But yeah, Theo Bear, Montero, and then I would really enjoy that, actually, the Metcalf getting another start, because we haven't seen him for quite a while since like the Eastern road trip, really.
Yeah, we haven't seen
in a lot of minutes. Yeah, he's come on here and there, but that's who I would like to see, given Noah Wusu, Tybert, Guti, and 50 other players. yeah, and I guess with that, Sebastian, any final closing words as we wrap up episode 24, one away from the big 2-5?
Well, as always, guys, thanks for the support. I mean, we're trying to get through this with you guys as well, and we're trying to give our input here on the Caps. Again, this is all just our thoughts and just what we think. We know we're not Mark Desantis. We know we're not Axel Schuster, whatever. We were just giving our thoughts out there, and you know, practicing journalism. One of the main things why we started this podcast with Ben, when he reached out to me, it's because we want to. Credits to the boy. we want to improve, basically our podcast game. We want to improve. Just anything, whatever we try and find.
Another element we aim to conquer.
Yeah.
Maybe not conquer, because third sub is absolutely killing it. But.
Yeah. props to them. That we didn't make this to like compete with them. I mean, we're good friends with all the guys at BTS and stuff like that. So we made this so we could get better at what we do and, you know, give our thoughts out there. It also helps us analyze the game a bit better. Look, it allows us to meet people as we've done recently as well and make connections. So thanks to you guys for listening. And as always, you can find us at 90 Plus Podcast on Twitter. You can find Ben Righetti at Righetti Ben on Twitter.
You got it good now. Yeah. You're not forgetting it ever again.
Yeah, never. I wrote it on a Word doc. I wrote it like 50 times. I'm just like, I won't mispronounce. How would I say it? Like,
you won't.
I have the Word doc right here. Let me check it.
Yeah.
I won't. Or no.
Get Ben's user wrong.
I won't get Ben's user wrong. And then I also did another one where it's like, Ben's Twitter is at Righetti Ben. Ben's Twitter is at Righetti Ben. So it's not going anywhere. You can find me at SebastianP74 on Twitter. And as always, we'll always have our features and articles from Last Word on Sport and World Football Index on our Twitters as well. So make sure to check those out, guys. And yeah, hopefully we can come back here to this podcast and talk a little bit more positive stuff with the Whitecaps fairly soon. But as always, thanks for listening, guys, and thanks for the support.
Yeah, Sebastian nail on the head there. At 90 Plus Podcast, at Righetti Ben, at SebastianP74. That's where you can find myself, Sebastian, and the podcast itself. Yeah, we really appreciate all the support so far. If, you know, 25, it's gonna be a fun one. We don't have a guest lined up. I don't think we're going to get a guest in time. It's only a couple of days. But, you know, if the Whitecaps can get a win, I'll be happy. Let's say this,
if the Whitecaps get a win, we'll bring back Alex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Sounds fair.
That's fair. And then I think me and Sebastian, one other thing that I just a little bit of business before we do close this out. We've stuck with player ratings for quite a while now. We still enjoy it, but I think the one good, one bad is also a little bit, something that we also enjoy as well. So I think what me and Sebastian decided on is, when the Whitecaps lose, we will do the one good, one bad. And if the Caps, if, like I was like, when we lose, it's a when we lose or if
That's
we
a
draw
if.
Or win. Yeah, when we lose, we'll do the one good, one bad. And when we draw or win, we'll just go back to the player ratings because that's just a bit more positive. And, you know, positivity is good. We haven't had a whole lot this year, so we want to get it in while we can. And the one good, one bad has, you know, 50% positivity, regardless of how the game goes. And, yeah, I guess with that, episode 24 is in the books. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Ben Righetti. He's Sebastian Pereira. This is the 90 Plus Podcast. Till next time.